I think as creatives and just as people, and for me personally, I tend to lose sight of what I really want for what I want now, right? That I want to be successful. I want to be a great designer. I want to make incredible brands. But right now, like, I want 100 likes on this post, and like, you know, compromising between those two and saying, okay, I'm going to give up the things that I want now for the long-term gain of what I really want.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. What's up? What's up? It's another week, another amazing person, another amazing story, and I can't wait to share this week's episode. But before we jump into that, I just want to remind you to learn everything that's going on with the podcast and all that I'm doing, go to passionbehindtheart.com. That's passionbehindtheart.com to learn about everything that we are doing and what's going on with the podcast and what's the next moves. And of course, episode 100 is coming and I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. So, without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. All right, I'm super excited to have Andrew Hop Rattle on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Welcome, bro.
What's up?
Well, it's good to have you on the show. I was glad to get to know you, and we got to go on a little retreat together. So I was like, let's have you on the show. So let's jump right into it. How did your journey start?
Yeah, so for me, design was something I kind of danced around for a long time. I grew up kind of loving things like theater and classic literature and things that kind of just built these incredible worlds. I remember going to see like Phantom of the Opera for the first time, and I was like, this is amazing. I want to do theater. And eventually in high school, discovered Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton's amazing stop motion film. And I remember watching it and just thinking, like, this is so crazy. Like, nothing in this world works. Like, it's all wrong, but somehow it works so well. And he just created this, like, space that he could exist in and dictate the rules and really create this world around it. And I was like, I want to get into something like that. So I started drawing a little bit, started kind of experimenting with design, like bootleg Photoshop, as everyone does for their first thing. And just started, like, messing around in there. And I'm like, splatter brushes and... You know, this is mid-90s, getting on that grunge trend.
Okay.
And, kind of fell into it. Eventually moved through in college, moved through being a theater major, being an English major, and neither of those really scratched the itch of kind of living and creating these worlds. And so I took a design class, and I actually had to do a report on a designer my very first class. We had to pick a designer and then, like, follow them for the year. And I picked James White of Signal Noise, who's an incredible, amazing designer, and fell in love with his work. And the same thing like Tim Burton. I'm like, this dude, like, has a whole world that he's built that, like, every piece that he makes fits in that. Like, him as a person fits into that. And he's just the coolest guy ever. And so that really got me into design and got me into that inspiration of being able to create worlds that people can kind of escape into, understand a little better. And really just experience at kind of a human emotional level. But yeah, that's how I kind of have landed into this world of design.
And I just feel like with you, like with your theater background, it kind of gives you this advantage of being able to create an experience.
Yeah, I guess that is true. Yeah. And I think that it helps understand story and character. I think I've heard a lot that good characters will react how you expect them to in a situation, right? So like SpongeBob and Patrick are great characters because whatever situation you put them in, you understand and you know how they will react. And the same thing that like design is creating that system and saying, okay, I've designed this system so that these are the yeses and these are the noes. Like people understand how to interact with this brand, how this interaction is going to happen, what this logo will do within whatever context they put it in. So yeah, I guess the theater like has bled over a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a it, I love it, man. And I'm just wondering, like, why didn't you kind of are I probably don't know, but are you where is theater at in your life?
Yeah, theater's still a huge part of my life. I was doing shows up until a couple years ago. Every summer, I would go and be in a show. I love being on stage. And people always ask me, like, oh, man, have you heard this song? And, like, have you, like, listened to the latest music video and stuff? And I'm like, no, I know. I have, like, the Sirius XM, and they have a station that is, like, just Broadway. And they only play show tunes. And so it's cool because they bring in actors and interview them. They talk about the process behind getting to the stage, what the inspiration for things are. And that's the stuff that really inspires me. So I stay like plugged into the theater as much as I can. I go to Vegas about once a month to go see a show out there just to stay up to date and kind of get that experience. Last month I went out and saw Lion King, which I'd seen a couple times before, but never in like a huge theater, and the theater in Vegas is giant.
Right.
And like 2 minutes in, like they open and the people start like singing and it's like the nah, and like they're doing the whole thing. And I just start like weeping, like just pouring tears at like this like magical emotional experience. And it really is something that like you go and they ask you to kind of like take a pause on your life, on whatever's right. going on, and step into this experience that they've perfectly crafted that I don't have to make decisions. I don't have to worry about things. I just get to experience that for an hour and a half. And so that feeling when I get to get it then inspires me to give it to other people, that I can create something that says like, okay, cool. Like everyone just hold on. Like I made this thing and I want you to experience it. It's going to be like 20 minutes. Like come experience this with me. And so it kind of is that back and forth between me like taking from the theater and then giving back to that kind of theater background.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, the one thing that I find very fascinating about theater is the singing. With the little singing background that I have, like I don't think people understand how hard it is to just sing live.
And oh, every like time sing live and dance and run and jump and you're doing like the whole nine yards.
I'm always fascinated about that. Like, how do they pull it off? They sound like a record, and it's just always amazing.
Yep. Yeah. 8 times a week, twice a day. Yeah, my voice would be donezo.
So how did your whole connection with Creative South happen?
I have a firm believer that people come into our lives at a certain point, at a certain time, for a certain reason, and then go out for another certain reason at a certain time. Right. And I remember I was going to Weapons of Mass Creation Fest up in Ohio. Amazing conference, super, super fun. And I had stayed at a hostel, because I'm like the like frugal traveler. And so I booked a room at this hostel, and Mike Jones and Lenny Terenzi were staying at that same hostel. We ended up going out for food, and Mike Jones was just like, man, you got to come check out our conference. Like Creative South, it's really cool. It's in Georgia. And I'm like, man, from California to Georgia, all travel. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm, you know, there's a lot of conferences I got to do and kind of get out to. So I made it out the next year and was just absolutely blown away. I think a lot of Southern California culture and a lot of the things, big conferences, I mean, there's like Adobe Max down here sometimes, and the big conferences aren't really community driven. They're more kind of just like you're on your own, you're here, you're getting what you need, and then you go about your way. There's some great things in Southern California, like Connecting Things, right. Creative Mornings, that are like starting to be more of that awesome community that kind of bonds together. But yeah, Creative South just kind of became this thing that was a family. I met people there that I started talking to every day. I was in Slack channels and getting pulled in here and there and getting feedback from this person that like I had lunch with. And so then it came back a second year and was able to host, which was amazing. Ended up talking with Mike and Lenny, and they asked me to come be the MC and had an absolute blast. We were going into planning the week, and the week before I got a call, and I'm driving my car and I pick up the phone. I'm like, hello. And this guy goes, hi, this is Dimitri with the circus. And I was like, hello, I'm sorry, hello. And it was this guy that somebody had hired some circus performers to be at Creative South, and I had like missed an email, and so I got this random call from this circus guy, and he's like, we just wanted to we just wanted to like schedule the opening, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And so that was kind of that was my jump into the deep end with emceeing and helping to plan with Creative South. And so after last year, I got brought on staff, and so now I'm helping plan the experience for next year, which again, I just love like crafting this weekend and this time for people to connect, to come in and to kind of like level up on their skills and what they're working on and how to go forward. And so we're getting super excited for next year, for 2019 Creative South. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah, the video game feel is like epic, man. You knocked it out the park, bro.
Oh yeah, wait till you guys see the stage. It's going to be incredible.
I've seen some clips. You guys are crazy. Right, so as we talk about like creating a community and stuff like that, I've noticed that you and Peter have started this get together. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it actually just happened a couple nights ago. So
Right.
we do something, Peter Del Tondo, who's amazing UI UX designer, amazing businessman, and we had started meeting up and going to Disneyland just as friends. We work on Creative South together, and we had kind of like met each other and talked in passing, and we realized that we both really love Disneyland. So we started kind of just like showing up to Disneyland at different times. He's like, I'll take the train. I'll be like, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And we'd go hang out at Disneyland for the night and just talk design, talk what's going on in our lives, just connect. And less of a networking thing and more of just like a community thing. Like it was nice to have somebody to hang out and talk with that understood the struggles and the victories of what it is to be a creative. And so we thought it would be really cool if we invited other people into that. And so we started designer meetups. And designer meetups is something that happens the second Thursday of each month, second Thursday night. We meet up at Disneyland, and it's open for anyone that loves Disneyland that wants to come. Sometimes we do it in downtown Disney if people don't have passes to come hang out with us. And usually we'll talk about something in design that relates to Disney. And be inspired through a movement of design or something we've seen that's reflected in the way that Disney does it. Disney has that special kind of magic. And I went to an event once and was talking with an Imagineer, and they told me the magic of Disneyland is that you can stand anywhere and look 360 degrees and everything makes sense. They've had to create these little mini worlds where every little last detail helps tell that story and immerse you in that story. And so that's why I love going there with creatives and just taking a moment and stopping and be like, okay. Like, look at this trash bin. Like, this trash bin uniquely serves its purpose in this space and is adapted somewhere else for another context somewhere else.
Right, that
And
is
so
the
it's just become
truth.
this, yeah, great thing that we get to meet new people and connect, and we've started to build this little community of just Disney people. We're all nerds and we love it.
It's pretty cool. I mean, that's kind of like a luxury, though. Like, people like that don't live near Disney. It's like the idea of just saying, oh, let's just go hang out at Disney
Yes,
tonight.
yes. Yeah, I'm out in Riverside, California, and so I'm about 30 minutes from everything. So people are like, "Oh my gosh, you're like everything is right there." And I'm like, "Well, Riverside's great, yes, but then I'm like an hour from LA, and an hour from the mountains, and 30 minutes from Disneyland. Like I'm just close to everything,
Yeah,
which
that's
is really
good.
nice. So I
That's a
get
good spot.
the best of all the worlds without having any of it at the same time."
That's a good spot. That's a good spot. So, what would you say was the hardest thing you had to overcome through your journey?
I think like growing the thick skin that you need to be a designer. I'm very conscious of like what people think and what people say. And again, I want to craft this experience. And so when someone's not experiencing me in a way that I is favorable or savory, it's really hard for me. And so that's something that I had to overcome and kind of get to a place where either I didn't care about that or I could better craft that. And I think my earlier years out of design school and even early in design school, I always wanted to take a different approach to things. I always had a twist on something. I always had something that was unique to me that wasn't necessarily the thing that everyone would want. I always tell people I don't really want to make people like feel good. I want people to feel good and like feel deeply. And so I had a big struggle with that and still kind of do that when I'm creating work. There's a lot of work that I make that I'm like, I want you to feel like the depth of like a hurt, or I want you to feel like a tension emotion. And those are things that people technically don't respond well to. Like nobody wants to just be like, I want to be super stressed when I look at this. And so as I started to create my voice and figure out who I was a designer, I realized I love exploring those more complex human emotions. And so there's stuff when I put it out that I'm like, this isn't meant to make you feel good. Like this isn't happy. This is like really, it's just intense and heavy, or I want it to be like dark and mysterious. And so I've had to figure out, what do I want to say as a designer and how do I want to say it? Mm-hmm. And I think once I started to divine those two things, it helped me have that ammo to kind of back it up, for people to say like, hey, you know, like this is a little crazy, like I don't get it, or you know, I post something that's not getting traction or not getting the response that I was hoping. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter if it's not getting a good response. Did it say what I wanted it to say as a designer? Is it true to me? And did I do that in a way that was true to how I want to say things? For me, I always run it through three things. Is it cold? Is it old? And it is bold. For the design that I like to work with, I like to work with stuff that is like punch you in the face, super just like stark contrast. I love stuff that's old, and then I want things to be cold. In my brain, I'm not the like warm, fuzzy, hug you, like everything's going to be great. I am as a person, but not necessarily in design. I want it to be something that's, here's the message, here's what it is. You're going to take this back and I'm going to kind of inject it into your life and you're good to go. A struggle for me is sticking to that and then learning where I can really have grounds to dig my feet in to say, this is who I am as a designer, and this is the way that I need to communicate.
Wow. I mean, I will say you are spot on with your message. I mean, you're super unique in how you communicate design.
Thank you.
And I can say, like, especially in this day and age, like, to do that and know that you may not get a great response is super hard to do. It's super hard to deal with, because in this day and age, everybody wants a like or a engagement. You know, everyone wants that. And to know that, okay, there's a great chance that I may not get this or get the one that I'm looking for, and I'm okay with that. Like, dude, like that is, I mean, it's a good trait to have.
Yeah. It's taken a lot of learning and time and failure and stress and sleepless nights and pints of ice cream.
So who would you say were some of the people that you kind of like build a support circle around?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people from Creative South have been super amazing. And then from and out of Creative South and some other conferences here, I met a bunch of people and we kind of started this group called Two Cents. And it's a Slack channel that we use, and we talk to each other pretty much every day. Amazing people, Ben Stafford, Noah Jacobus, Titus Smith at ESPN. There's a couple designers that are in there that we've kind of just created this friendship. And it's a place that we say is for feedback and friendship. And every day we're on there posting things we're working on, getting feedback, being able to talk about our real lives. And it's fun because in a day we can go from – like, hey, send that thing over that you were working on. Let me work on the kerning because it's a hot mess. To like, hey, we're having a new kid and it's super stressful. And like, we're trying to work through like the complexities of this. Like, it's something that kind of is all encompassing for us and being friends first, but then also being able to be designers and creatives and get feedback and work on that has been an amazing place for us to really just connect. It's something that we had like worked on and are kind of working on building into a structure that like other people can start to make their own groups. I think their website is twocents.group, and it just has information on there of like, how do we function? What works for us? What's something that we've used to kind of create a community? But those are really the people that I can celebrate victories with, that I can kind of mourn failures with, figure out how to move on to the next thing and how to really level up as a creative with those people that help push me in that.
Yeah, I remember Ben was telling me about the Two Cents group which was it was pretty cool. So what is this new business that you're doing?
Yeah, so recently with four of my other friends, we have started a business called Black Roses. Blackroses.com, shameless plug. So Black Roses is, we're a brand experience agency, and we specialize in helping people fall in love with hard to brand organizations. All five of us come from a background of working branding, working for really complex clients, working on projects that have a lot of nuance, that kind of need a crafted and unique experience aligned with them. And so we wanted to start a company and see how it would go with us kind of being on our own, starting our own thing, taking on clients, and starting to build unique experiences that are crafted to the clients that we're getting. It's something that's really exciting. We just started out earlier this year, and we're starting to build a client base. We're starting to understand ourselves better as creatives, starting to understand ourselves better as business people. And for me, it's been awesome to kind of get into a world where I'm trying to kick out brands, trying to understand creating voices, and really kind of flex what I've been building the last few years into a space that lets us partner and really become advocates and champions for these things that our clients are coming in with. And it's been an amazing experience so far. And yeah, it's building and growing and completely new. Yeah.
I seen you post that you had your first client. Like, how did that come about? And if you don't mind sharing, like, how did you go about acquiring your first client?
Yeah, so our first client, when we started the business, we really wanted to. We all come from either a ministry background or a nonprofit kind of sector background, and we wanted to do something that really kind of gave back first. We wanted to show that we love working in the nonprofit sector. We love working with those organizations that, again, have ideals, have things behind them. And so our first client that we picked up was a local homeless shelter here in Riverside. And we wanted to come in and give them a new voice, to give them a new look, to help them kind of create an experience to help increase their donorship, help people increase their reach, how people interpret and see them as an organization. And we really thought that it would be great for us to come in and partner with them and take that on as our first client. And so that's something that we've been working on the last few months. Hopefully we'll be able to show in the next few months here coming up. But we've been doing some awesome work with them. Really excited to, again, craft this unique experience to something that has been around that maybe people just interact with on a day-to-day or see it here and there. And kind of asking people, okay, we know what you think about this, but we're going to present it to you in a new way that you can engage with, a new way that you can be a part of, and a new way that you can take ownership with this company to kind of help us make homelessness history in Riverside. So it's been really, really exciting, especially as a first client, for us to kind of be able to give back and to help out someone and some organization in the way that we do.
Especially something for like that, like something that's a great need, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
that's like the message behind it. I can only imagine like the whole how you guys feel to be able to like be able to help them out. Like that gotta be deep.
Yeah, and it's great going into business and starting to understand business and knowing, you know, we have to make the sales, we have to make the money. But having that mindset going in and be like, we're not selling you anything. We're trying to fix a problem. And as creatives and as a branding agency, that's what we do. We solve creative problems. And, you know, this business comes to us with a problem and we're going to help them, whether it's selling a product or whether it's creating this experience or whether it is reaching out and trying to figure out how to make homelessness history in Riverside. We are going to rise to that occasion and help solve that problem with the creative insight that we have as an organization.
That's awesome, man. All right,
Yeah.
so what is that thing that Andrew can't live without that's not his phone?
Yes. My phone's definitely a good one. For me, I was actually thinking about this and I was like, man, I like do a lot of stuff on my phone. I'm like a huge Pokemon Go player. Like, it's still a thing, and it's so dumb. I'm just a nerd. But I think the thing for me that I like can't live without is my record player. I
Wow.
went to a Black Friday, 5 or 6 years ago, and got one of those like little luggage sized record players. And I have it, like, I set it on my desk, and I've kind of just grabbed records over the years at thrift shops, and at like random places. I have currently next to me, I have the original cast recording of Gypsy with Ethel Merman. And then I've got like Funny Girl, Barbra Streisand. I've got some old Tony Bennett stuff.
Wow.
I grew up not listening to a lot of the like popular music. Like, I'm not a big like NSYNC, Britney Spears, all that. I grew up on like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and Frank Sinatra, and that kind of old stuff. So I have a lot of older records with that kind of jazz that it has something about it that takes me back, that puts me into a headspace that allows me to kind of be creative, that I don't feel like I'm being like bombarded with things. I'm immersed in a story. And that's why I don't like listening to popular music when I'm working on stuff. I'll listen to a Broadway cast recording because I love getting engulfed in a story, and it just gets my head in that space of, okay, I'm telling a story here. What nuance do I need to add? Instead of kind of like, oh, it's fun and colorful. It's just two different places. So my record player is always sitting next to me. When I'm working, I
Nice.
usually will have some record rolling through. It always breaks my workflow when I have to like turn it over. I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm like, oh, this isn't Spotify. Like, I need to get out of and manually like interact with this thing. But yeah, I absolutely love my record player.
That's an amazing one, bro. That's awesome. A legit record player. All right, so book recommendations.
Yes, so I grew up like reading like none other, and then at some point I just stopped, which is so weird. I grew up in, so my mom homeschooled us for a little while, and the rule was we had to read twice as much as we watched TV. So
Wow.
like, if I wanted to watch like an episode of Twilight Zone or Andy Griffith Show that was like a half hour, I had to read for an hour, and I got little like tokens, and I would like put them on a little keychain so that I could like cash them in to watch my shows. And so I burned through like all those like old Illustrated Classics and Call of the Wild and Treasure Island and The Time Machine. And so I love a lot of the classics. And I have all of Jessica Hisch's like amazing. She did a bunch of covers for Barnes and Noble that are just gorgeous of the classics. And I have all those on my shelf. But I think the one that stood out to me that I've read 3 or 4 times and kind of just gone back to, and I think especially for creatives, is The Portrait of Dorian Gray. I think a lot of people have, yes, like these like self-help, like knowledge books. And I love reading and kind of taking the self-help knowledge angle on something that's a classic that's just a story. And for me, The Portrait of Dorian Gray, if you don't know, it's about this man who is beautiful. He's a young man, he's gorgeous, and he takes a lot of vanity and pride in the way that he looks. And he has his portrait painted and makes this deal that the portrait will basically age instead of him, that he will stay young forever. And it's this incredible book and the story about exploring what is beauty? How do we perceive beauty as humans? What does it mean to have everything you've ever wanted, but then watch everything else deteriorate and go away? And so it's really beautiful for me, and I love reading through it just as a creative to remind myself of, is beauty that something that's selfish? Like, am I doing this for me? Is beauty something that I can define, or does the viewer define it, or do we define it as a collective? And it's something that I love reading through and kind of exploring because of the way the story kind of bobs and weaves, but stays within that vein of exploring what is beauty. And I think as creatives, that's like a huge thing for us.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I think it all just goes back to the whole idea of telling a story, and to
Yep.
just have someone just tell you, okay, this is good to do, you should do this. I mean, hearing a person's story just goes much further to me, or here in fictional or whatever it may be, just hearing a story just goes much further.
Yep, I agree.
So what's next? What's next for Andrew?
Yeah, for me, I think Black Roses is the big thing. Getting the business started, kind of understanding interacting with clients a little better, trying to build my portfolio. I'm launching my new website next week. I completely redoing my website, which would be hopefully super exciting. It's definitely in the vein of like, this is what I wanted it to be. So good luck, everyone. excuse me. It's going to be a whole thing. So that'll be fun. But yeah, just taking on new clients, working with Black Roses, getting to know my partners better. I'm really, really excited for Creative South 2019. It's going to be awesome. We're doing a kind of vintage retro video game theme. And so I'm starting to write the scripts. I'm starting to work on the jokes and all that fun stuff. Kind of get the weekend lined up. I'm trying to do more podcasts, more speaking. I taught design history for a long time. And so I'm trying to move more into speaking a little bit more. I did Creative Mornings in Orange County, which was incredible. Such a great experience. So I'm hoping to speak more. I've been talking with Adobe Live a little bit, hoping to get on Adobe Live.
Nice.
Kind of just share thoughts on things, work on some stuff, share some tips and secrets. And I'm hopefully going to start streaming on Twitch soon. I love that platform, and I had streamed back when I was like teaching and stuff. I do lessons on there. So I want to get back onto Twitch. But for me personally, I'd really just want to start speaking more, start kind of having a voice, kind of sharing more with people my life and my thoughts about design and what's going on kind of stuff. And then professionally, just building Black Roses, becoming a better creative, becoming a better kind of creative director, a better art director, a better designer, just continually growing.
Sounds awesome, man. I'm really excited about the stuff that you're doing, man. The Black Roses, it's so different, but like super needed.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited for to kind of be this agency that thinks about the full experience. I think you'll see a lot of stuff that, you know, they kick out a logo, they kick out a branding system, but we're the kind of organization that when we're working on something, if we're doing, you know, a building or we're doing some kind of experience for like a gym, we're thinking about what kind of towels are you using. What is the scent of the soap? How does the scent of the soap go with the scent that we'll be pumping to use for cleaners in the bathroom? Mm. Like, what are all those little details? And I love that stuff because outside of just, you know, how does it look? Is the logo good? Is the brand good? It's how do people experience this brand? What is it like when they walk through the door? Is the temperature too cold? Is it warmer because it excites them? Like, you know, how do they know what they can do when they go out and they're starting to work in the gym? What are their options? And just every last thing of this experience, that's what's exciting to me. And so I'm excited to start taking on more clients like that and starting to craft these, you know, small details that make a huge impact that people don't even think about.
It's true, man. That is the true, you're talking about the part of just branding experience. Like, we all think of logos, but logos is just basically an ID.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, now it's what is it like meeting that person, meeting that brand? What is the experience like when you meet that brand? So, I mean, that's like the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a difference between, I think it's possible for us to like a logo, but it's more possible for us to love a brand. Then you look at a logo and you can't like fall in love with a logo. But as you build out what that logo represents, what it means, and kind of start to insert into people's brains, I've put everything in your head. When you see that logo, everything you associate it with, I want to fill your brain with those things.
Right.
And that's really what I love doing and what Black Roses loves doing is filling up and creating that brand experience that says, hey, you're going to see this thing and you're going to have an emotional reaction to it because of some experience that you've had that was incredible with this brand.
Awesome. So what advice would you have for creatives out there?
Always give in to peer pressure because you have more friends. No, that's terrible. That's always my go-to. And people are like, what advice do you have? I'm like, just give in. I think for me, my biggest advice would be don't give up what you want for what you want now. Mm. I think as creatives and just as people, and for me personally, I tend to lose sight of what I really want for what I want now, right? That I want to be successful. I want to be a great designer. I want to make incredible brands. But right now, like, I want 100 likes on this post. And like, you know, compromising between those two and saying, okay, I'm going to give up the things that I want now for the long-term gain of what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, I want to go out and do all these incredible things, but in the long run, I need to focus on this one thing.
Right.
And so kind of finding what that line is for you and figure out what is the goal and what am I working toward and what are the things that will keep popping up that will be tempting me to kind of run to the left and run to the right. Because it's much easier to continue on in a straight line than do this zigzag right. back and forth, kind of grabbing things as you go. And the other thing is just finding your voice and sticking to it. That's something that I tell all my students when I'm teaching is figure out who you are as a designer. Yes, you're going to make work that is your magnum opus and is totally amazing. And yes, you're going to make things that like you have to kick out in an hour that's like the best memo you've ever seen. But within that, find what your voice is. Like even when you're kicking out and just typesetting a memo or someone's like, hey, can you put together this presentation for me? Like there should be something in there that represents the brand. And again, it's about building this brand experience that how do people understand you and how can you build this visual language that in a letter, in an image, people can tie it back to you and think like, oh yeah, man, that's Andrew Thing. Oh man, he's like, you know, he's fun. He's got that like personality. He's like super upbeat and stuff. Of how do you like create those things that just tie back to who you are as a designer?
Yeah, it can be hard, but when you have it down pack, like it's always an amazing thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, dude, how can people find you, learn about all the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah. So I'm Andrew Hochradel everywhere at Andrew Hochradel, HOCHRADEL. I just get in the rhythm of spelling it every time. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Working with Creative South. If you want to follow Creative South, Designer Meetups. If you want to follow Designer Meetups, Black Roses LLC. If you want to follow along with Black Roses, we're posting, almost daily with, articles, kind of insights of things we're working on, things we're learning. But yeah, follow me on social media, connect with me. I don't just want to be like some random connection. I want to be your friend. You'll probably be like, this guy's talking to me too much. He's a lot. I'd be like, yes, I am a lot. Love me. But yeah, hit me up. And I love meeting new people. And again, I'm a huge fan of people coming into lives for a certain reason, certain time, and I'll roll with it and we'll see where it goes.
Awesome, dude. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Dude, this has been amazing.
Yeah, this has been super fun. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. I really appreciate you taking the time out. I hope, you know, you got something from it, that it brought you value and, you know, you were able to pull something, some key tips, some key practices that can help you to take your career to the next level and just to elevate your mindset in general. If you want to learn about everything that I'm doing, you can go to dpcreates.com. That's D as in dog, P as in Peter, creates.com. Or go to the podcast website. That's passionbehindtheart.com. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. Be blessed.